how the playoffs start with the most mesmerizing buzzer beater you can have.
Crazy.
Wow, look at that. But it is the Monday after game one of the playoffs. Overreaction Monday. Is it the greatest, most mesmerizing buzzer beater ever? And how everything we saw portends to everything we know for the rest of the playoffs. Let's go.
Like week one of the NFL season.
Exactly.
Monday after.
I mean, the urge is so great.
Let's overreact.
The urge is so great to overreact.
Job.
Let me overreact. Flawless execution for the Boston Celtics the last 45 seconds of this game. And the final possession, a masterpiece. Everyone touches the ball, and as you've seen 100 times, and you can see it another 100 times, I don't care. Marcus Smart's awareness here, and Durant losing Tatum, and Tatum catching and spinning in one motion, and Irene spin cycle. Nothing he could do. All buzzer beaters are gorgeous, but that right there is pulchritudinous. Frank Isola, around the horn to you. First on the play, and then what it means for the season.
Well, think about this. I think earlier this season, Marcus Smart might have taken that shot. How about the play that he makes with pump faking two guys off their feet, and he passes it to Tatum. But in that moment, the Nets' two best players, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving, they lost Jason Tatum. The way you lose your car keys and the way you would lose, like, one sock in the laundry. Somebody has to keep an eye on the best player in the Boston Celtics, who, by the way, had zero field goals in the fourth quarter until he converted that basket. The Nets, the final 45.9 seconds of that game, after they took a three-point lead, because the Nets were great in the fourth quarter, but they allowed Jaylen Brown to score too quickly. Their final possession was terrible, and then they gave up a layup to Tatum. Boston's last two baskets, both layups.
All right, so I'm sensing then you're putting the last minute of this game and the buzzer beater then on Brooklyn failing to get it done. Is that right, Frank?
Well, I think it's a great job by Boston because Ime Udoka doesn't call timeout after the Nets had the poor possession because he liked the defensive matchup. Again, the Nets were great. They had a comeback with Kevin Durant on the bench. Kevin Durant didn't have a great game, 9 for 24. You still have a lead. One stop is all you need. One stop, and they got two layups.
We'll keep it the Frank Isola show because you do cover the Brooklyn Nets only on Yes. But that this will portend for the rest of the series, you buy into that?
No, and when I thought that when Kyrie's shot was going to stand up, I kept thinking my thing was going to be where was Jason Tatum in the fourth quarter? We always overreact to game one of every series. This series, be very careful. Kevin Durant missed 15 of 24 shots. Kevin Durant will be a lot better in game
two. Let's see if Tinsley will overreact or overreact to Frank not overreacting. Let's go, Tins.
here's my chance to overreact. No, really. This was the most anticipated series going into it, and one game in, it's living up to all the hype. So hopefully we get seven games of this. This was a perfect storm for Boston. Tatum, Smart, Horford, and Brown all had at least 20 points. And Tatum played brilliant on both sides of the ball. He held KD to 2 of 5 shooting with 3 turnovers. Like, this was basketball nirvana, especially those last two possessions on offense and defense for Boston. I know we'll get to Kyrie in a second, but I want to focus on Kevin Durant. He, like, as Frank said, I fully expect a big game from him in game two because you don't want to go down 0-2 to this Boston team and then have to beat them 4 out of the next 5 games. I fully expect a bounce back game from KD in game two.
Israel Gutierrez on the last possession.
First of all, Frank, sometimes you find a sock in, like, the pocket of a fitted sheet that you haven't used in a while. You should look at some of those. They find their way over there. Secondly, I think those last two possessions were pretty much indicative of what kind of teams these are, where they are right now. Where Boston, that defensive possession, so together, so on it, knew exactly what they wanted to do. And then on that final frantic offensive possession, like we said, the ball moves around. Marcus Smart, who infamously said earlier this year, the other guys need to pass the dang ball. Well, he passed the dang ball just at the right time to Jason Tatum. So it just sort of, it's the type of win that continues to bring a team together. And when you already know you have the tough first seed, you have the one matchup that nobody envies, and you win at home like that, it can probably sort of carry you a little bit further here. I do think, though, that what they learned is they can attack the rim at will because the Nets do not have rim protectors. And while the Nets could do that also in reverse with Robert Williams out, that's not the type of players that they are. They're more jump shooters with KD and Kyrie, so I think the Celtics have probably learned a little bit more out of this game.
Clinton Yates.
That's why I think we've learned a lot about this series. This is the way the Nets were supposed to be winning games, outgunning you and not really worrying about defense. That just plain didn't work. They were a step slow when it mattered the most. That shot from Kyrie was poor in the last effort, as was the one from KD. I expected more, flatly. As for the play, I thought KD got a little bit of a bad rap there because he was caught in between Brown, who was also at the top of the key, in case he had to make either decision. But overall, I just think that the Celtics have to have gained something from this that you didn't necessarily know that you had in that spot, and they won the game. That matters when you're playing a series. You're not just going to have infinite chances to sort of get it together. This is a big win for the Celtics, arguably a bad loss.
So much oxygen, though, is spent in basketball. Who's got the best players on the floor? And Kevin Durant, Frank, I know it's fair to say he may never have this game again this series, but in this game, the way his shot wouldn't fall, the way he looked in the last possession, is this game on Durant?
Well, first of all, they put five defenders on him in the first half. He went 2 for 10. But I would say this, the two baskets that he made in the fourth quarter, both of them gave the Nets the lead. So that was a bailout three at the end. Kyrie's got to do better on that final possession because he's basically giving it to Kevin Durant and Jason Tatum. A long defender is on him, and Kevin Durant's in a situation. That's like a bailout three. So I'm not going to put that
last that's a no. This is not on Durant, both the offense and then the defense in the last play.
No, he's got to be better 100%. He is a top player in the league, but he will be better. And here's the other thing about Kevin Durant. The Nets made their comeback when he was on the bench to start the fourth quarter. A lot of times over this last month of the season, Steve Nash was playing Kevin Durant the entire second half.
Kyrie versus Boston fans, because there's about 4, 5, 6 different instances, multiple middle fingers, like a Contra spray gun of middle fingers. I mean, he said you didn't catch all of them. We looked, and there may be others, but this is what we got. Profanity to a fan in the tunnel, profanity at the podium, but playing the villain, and what he described as keeping the same energy of the Boston fans. He played great in this game. So all this heat, Clinton Yates, is it good for Kyrie, good for Boston, good for the NBA, or is it all unseemly and malodorous?
It's okay for the NBA, but I can't imagine it's very good for Brooklyn. I mean, he can say everything he wants about how it didn't affect him. It wasn't hostility. Obviously, you were affected. You were flipping the bird to people in the middle of an NBA game. Let's just be real about what's going on. And so that's why this is so tough, because they lost that actual game. You can argue about the definitions of what's actually happening between the fans and the people, but he was clearly in a different space than he had been, that we'd seen him in a long time, which as a champion and a guy that played there, frankly, I was a little bit surprised by. I thought he might have a little bit more composure and not lose the psychological battle to the guys in the arena.
He's real that he had such a good game. Is that the takeaway, or is that it's getting to him?
No, I think it's more that it's getting to him. I think, you know, we've seen this before. There have been players come back to their previous teams. I mean, I'll never forget 2010, December 2nd, LeBron James going back to Cleveland, and that was the most tense situation I have ever been in, and it was by far worse than this. And I don't know what those fans were saying to LeBron, but he didn't fire back with anything more than his play. And so I'm not saying he needs to take this, and as an athlete, you have to absorb that stuff. No, you can go ahead and fire back. It's sort of just inconsistent with Kyrie and who he's been, you know, sort of comes across as this enlightened person above all this nonsense, and yet he's going to be right in there in the mud with the fans. And so if that's who you are, fine, just embrace that. And it seems like that's what he's doing right now. It seemed to be a little bit surprising, a little bit beneath him, frankly. And yeah, one of those situations where we've seen it before and other guys have sort of gone deaf, and sort of tuned out the crowd. He wasn't able to do that.
Justin, is Kyrie allowed to respond both the way he shot the ball, but also the way he did?
Look, I love the fact that the fans boo him every time he touches the ball. I love the you suck chants, but Kyrie's right. It's only so much a person can tank. You can't call a person outside of their name but so many times and have them react. Look, this was already going to be emotional given the history with Kyrie and Boston, of course. Look, I get that. So, you know, emotions are going to boil over from time to time, but I don't want this to go any further, but it's not solely on Kyrie to make sure it doesn't either.
Kyrie is right. If I could put a quote-unquote
Tinsley
said.
I had no problem with it.
How about you?
All right, so on the final possession of the game, now Kyrie thought that he hit the dagger three, which is really going to silence the crowd. That was his 18th point of the fourth quarter. He was outstanding in the fourth. Maybe on that final possession, he's thinking, all right, I got one more dagger for them. And then he dribbles himself into problems. So who knows? Maybe the crowd in that moment did have an impact. It certainly didn't impact his overall performance. The only thing I would say, and I've covered a million games, playoff games at Madison Square Garden, where Reggie Miller, Alonzo Mourning were the villains, and they're getting crushed. You know what they would do? It would be this. They would dust it off. You cannot respond like that. The league does hold players to a different standard. That's why there'll be a
Gutierrez, last word.
when he's responding to the "you suck" chants with something more foul with a gesture on top of it, that tells me he's taking it a little bit too far. Because the "you suck" chants, you can hear that every single game if you go to the right games. That shouldn't really be getting to a competitor that way.
We move on. Tonight, game two, Sixers-Raptors. The Tyrese Maxey explosion, game one. And how that carried Philly while Embiid and Harden worked through tougher games. Tough loss for Toronto going into tonight. Scottie Barnes is out for the game. He's in a walking boot. Tonight, can a similar script work for Philly, or do Embiid and Harden need to give more, Justin Tinsley?
Maxey's been off the charts ever since the Harden trade happened, so him exploding for 38 really isn't all that surprising. But look, I would like to reintroduce my 2-1-1 theory. Look, you already got your Maxey game. That's one. Now you need Embiid and Harden to get you the other three, and I think it's possible. This could be a sweep, especially with Barnes being
all right,
out.
So, Tinsley, once again, the 2-1-1, is this hypothesis theory or scientific law at this point? I don't know. Two games are won by your star.
Your best player. Okay. Let's just say Embiid.
All right, and then one
Harden
game needs to be won by?
Your second best player.
Okay, and then one
Harden.
Game gets won by a
role player. You already got your Maxey game.
I think that's scientific law. All right.
I think so.
Frank Isola on how this played out with Maxey being the star and what that does for Philly.
And well, remember, too, though, James Harden did have 14 assists and only one turnover. Jalen Rose had a good line. If you look at Harden down the stretch of the season, it was like the back of a concert T-shirt. 4-for-11, 4-for-12, 4-for-15, 4-for-16. That's all it was. But I agree with Justin. There will come a point where Harden will have to carry them. But this is why the playoffs are great. A guy like Maxey, who's kind of forgotten when people start analyzing the series, did win them a game. And the Scottie Barnes injury is going to be big, big trouble for the Toronto Raptors.
Yeah, another guy who's kind of forgotten in that role player role is Tobias Harris. He's had to completely change what he's done on this team since the All-Star break as well. He had 28 last night, second most on the team, and was plus 17 in plus minus. I mean, I don't think that role player has to be one specific person, which is why this Sixers team is so dangerous. This was a massive win. I didn't expect this necessarily to be a huge blowout, but I also didn't expect them to cruise. I was impressed. Very much
and
so.
Israel.
Yeah, if the role players don't do enough, it's do we have enough around Embiid and Harden? And if they do too much, it's hey, do Embiid and Harden need to do more? Look, I think that any team that was going to face the Toronto Raptors was going to have a difficult time adjusting because they're the bunch of 6'9 guys with really long arms, good defenders, and a little bit non-traditional. But, you know, you had Embiid missing some shots and really sort of having to deal with a lot of attention. And you had Tyrese Maxey just doing exactly what he's been doing since the trade happened with Harden, just finding his spots where he fits in and being effective there. And so I think you sort of replicate that, you're going to be fine. Tobias Harris gives you these games, you're probably going to win by 20 points if both of those guys are giving you those types of scores.
That's our horn. We'll take a break right here. Tinsley, the founder of the 2-1-1 theory. But also you said the most anticipated matchup, Boston and Brooklyn. That very well may be true, but may I submit to you Memphis and Minnesota? We'll be talking about that series next.
Oh, yeah.
When do we get to the Miami Heat?
Around the Horn is brought to you by MLB The Show 22, rated E for everyone.
What's up, kiddos? I'm Clinton Yates of Around the Horn. Whenever I go to cover games or attend events in Los Angeles, I'm always keeping my eye out for the best dressed person in the room. I saw Diego Luna at the Andor red carpet launch event, Star Wars, folks, and he looked head of state fresh. Now you can also be that person too, whether you're sitting courtside, attending a fancy dinner, or going to a wedding. With a fully custom suit from Indochino, you'll walk into wedding season looking like $1 million for way, way less. They start at just $4.99. With Indochino, you can design the suit of your dreams and fine-tune every detail, including lapels, linings, monograms, pocket flaps, etc. A tailored fit from home. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose customizations without even leaving the house. Look your best this wedding season. At the table or on the dance floor when you wear Indochino. Go to Indochino.com today and use code HORN to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code HORN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, brought to you by Chase. Coming to you from the Seaport District at Pier 17.
The one and only upset in Game 1's Minnesota over Memphis. This series not going tonight. They get an extra day off. If this series took all month, I think that'd be all right by everybody, even Ant and Morant's dads. But for Minnesota to have as much dog as they did in this game and to shut down Morant like they did, all he did was score on the line. Memphis got to the line. Fantastic game. Minnesota gets the win. Anybody thinking this series could go Minnesota's way now? Frank Isola, you?
Sure, why not? And I'll tell you what, Memphis talked about, yeah, we want that smoke. And then they gave up 41 points in the first quarter. And Anthony Edwards, he's all grown up. How about 36 points in his playoff debut? That's pretty
special. So you think Minnesota could take this series? Overreaction Monday. Here we go. Let's go around the horn. Tinsley.
Just like the other 2-7 matchup, I want this to go seven games. They can win the series, especially if they out-rebound Memphis like they did in game one. And Anthony Edwards, he's built for moments like this. But Ja Morant, he played 35 minutes in game one. He's going to have to play 40-plus for them to win the series.
Hit some field goals from the field as well in the second half. Today, Ja Morant posting video of Michael Jordan talking about what it's like to trash talk and how you got to bring it every game, Israel. So there's definitely heat in this series. Does that maybe move the ledger to Minnesota?
No, I mean, look, I think Memphis can get angry with the best of them, and I think they can retaliate, and I think they're not going to get out-rebounded this way, and definitely Minnesota will cool down some. But I love Anthony Edwards, but I'm also old enough to remember the play-in game that Karl-Anthony Towns played where he was horrible. So I believe there could be a couple more of those in this series.
Did you see what I did there? I used heat as a different way that Gutierrez could handle it. His mind almost blew up there.
Snuck it in.
Last word on this.
Yeah, Anthony Edwards has been great. He said that the kids were the ones talking the best trash. Kyrie Irving, take notes on how to deal with that when you're in an opposing arena. But, you know, you said Ja mentioned Jordan. They kind of Jordan rules him. They beat him up. You saw that last clip in the open, and it affected his game. I think he's going to have to rotate things a little bit, not try to cram on everybody. Maybe work that floater in a little better so that he can stay through these games.
Buy or sell two Nuggets Warriors game two tonight. Golden State's Curry, Thompson, Green, Wiggins, Poole lineup, plus 14. In 5 minutes in game one. So Klay Thompson called it scary sight when they get going like that. Jordan Poole says it's a pretty lethal lineup. We've heard this before. Is he buy or sell the new version of the death lineup? Question mark?
No, I'm going to sell it. I'm going to have to give it a different name. It's a good lineup, but I'm not going to compare Wiggins and Poole to Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala just yet. Like, it's a great offensive lineup, I believe that, and I think they can probably, you know, go some more 20-6 runs like they did in those 5 minutes, but defensively, nothing close to that previous one.
Not buying the nickname right now, but I am buying the squad. The continuity of this team under Kerr has been fantastic. There was all these questions about what's going to happen when all these people come back. Well, they're going to make the playoffs and start beating people's brains.
Okay, but this lineup, in 5 minutes, you said you'd buy, but we only got 5 minutes. Is that an overreaction?
Yes, this segment's only 5 minutes. Is this the lineup of death? I don't know, sir, but it might be.
Right, guy Solo.
It's absolutely an overreaction. I am also old enough to remember when Kevin Durant was on the team. And I think the group they had there went 9-1 in the NBA Finals. This isn't 5 minutes of game one against a lower-seeded team. Give Steve Kerr credit, though, putting Steph Curry on the bench to begin the game. Smart.
Justin Tinsley.
Yeah, they had an 11-1 assist-to-turnover ratio in that time. But, no, it's 5 minutes, bro. No, you can't have a nickname after 5 minutes. But I love how Poole's play is benefiting the recovery of Steph Curry as well. That's the best thing about all of this.
That's been true. Not for a good thing, huge stretches of the season. I mean, he's got the most three-pointers made by anybody in the NBA since March. That's resume material for most improved player right there for Jordan Poole, though he didn't make the final three, which I thought was surprising. We'll move on. Buy or sell three Friday night baseball. I want to talk about this. I know it's a few days old. Joe Maddon intentionally walking Corey Seager with the bases loaded. All right, so that was one run, and then there were two more runs after that. No hits allowed, but a sac fly and a balk. Texas took the lead, but the Angels came back and won the game. Clinton, did it work then? Do you condone it?
It worked enough, but this isn't even the first time that Maddon has done this against the Rangers, which is one of the more bizarre things in baseball history. But overall, I think it was funny because he said he wanted to fire his guys up, and he got a great dramatic performance out of Mike Trout, who just moved his head a little bit because he was concerned. You never see that out of him, I think.
Israel, did this wind up working?
By the way, this happened 2 days ago and you want to talk about it? Well, I want to talk about the Miami Heat who won yesterday.
Oh, here we go. But, okay, look, I can take that.
I don't have an issue with the strategy necessarily. I think, you know, when you've got the pitchers that, you know, you can't just take out every pitcher or every batter at this point. You're going to have to make some sacrifices, make some adjustments. And look, it's like running out hard for an open three-pointer to give up the two, you know, trying to reduce the damage as much as possible. I get
all
the strategy.
Tinsley, walking the bases loaded. That's Barry Bonds material. Is Corey Seager that?
Absolutely not. No. Look, this is only foolish if it doesn't work. The Angels won the game, so here we are now. That's just
right.
A rule in life.
Three runs came across this inning. Did it work for Gaisola?
It's the second week of the season.
You're not taking the
you know,
baby.
It's the fourth inning of a game. I remember when Buck Showalter was coaching the Diamondbacks, and he did it to Barry Bonds. It was late in the game, and to your point, that was Barry Bonds. I think this is Joe Maddon saying, look at me. I'm managing right now. It's the fourth inning. I don't like
it. Israel, now you're sensing what I'm doing. I'm motivating you. You want to talk about the Heat? You got to win Showdown and get the FaceTime versus Isola. Too.
All right.
I'll talk about it
there.
If I win.
I know you will, Frank.
No.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
A wild triple play, Virginia-Pittsburgh this week. And check this out. Third base to catcher. Catcher to first base, who forgets how many outs there was, drops the ball, starts to run off the field, remembers, picks up the ball, and goes home just in time to catch the third runner. Oh, Israel, who gets the most credit here?
Oh, the MVP is everybody else on Virginia who did not run toward the dugout, which allowed this gentleman to say, oh, maybe that wasn't the third out. Let me go get that baseball.
You know, right? You get into UVA, you're good at math. So I think he was deking him there. I was once at a World Series game where Chuck Knobloch pretended fielding a ground ball. That's how they got Lonnie Smith out on a play. So I think he knew exactly what he was
doing.
Sleep
on the
UVA,
catcher,
smart.
Catcher makes a great turn for the second out.
Yeah.
Then he had the spike of the ball, which I love on a baseball field. We'll move on. Fastest first pitch ever was an Ichiro hitting 84 on the gun. This is great. Wearing the same exact uniform he wore in 2001. But check out the fans, all right? Dressed up as the 95 team. Everybody, look at this. You see a big unit. You see a Buehner coming up. You see Griffey, of course. Frank, who gets the most credit for that lineup there?
I love Ichiro, but I think it's Buehner because it reminds me of Frank Costanza on Seinfeld telling George Steinbrenner, how the heck can you trade Jay Buehner for Ken Phelps?
Israel, first give me your answer.
You stole my line, but for an entirely different reason. You don't get to wear the bald cap, but you get to wear a bald cap like Jay Buehner. And that's how you're going to get recognized. Not
commit
everybody remembers
it.
Jay Buehner. You got
to
remember
to the lineup.
Head.
Shave that's... your head like Buehner did. The Mariners used to have Buehner shave your head games. The answer
that.
Was big unit because the guy really nailed the height. He did a good job there. Israel, FaceTime, please.
Thank you. Finally, I get to talk about the one South Florida subject that I've been wanting to talk about, and it's a really hot subject here. You ready? All right, look. Apparently, Alexander Barkov of your Florida Panthers, who have won 10 straight games, by the way, doesn't like to take empty net goals. I was watching a game a couple of Sundays ago against the Buffalo Sabres. He had a clear empty netter, completely bypassed it.
You complained all show about no heat and then you pass it up?
You got an empty net win.